Well, hey, everyone. I am here for another culture segment, and I know a lot of you guys are fans of these because you get introduced to just neat people out there who are trusting the Lord in their circumstances and are learning great things and sharing great things with us, and today's interview is no exception. I have got Larissa Murphy on the phone with me. Larissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, very good, except we're in the middle of these fires here in Colorado Springs, and so we're just trying to put up with that, with the smoke, but we're hanging in there.
Good.
Well, we've known about you here at Boundless for a little while. I was talking to you before we started taping about the book This Momentary Marriage by John Piper, and how I have a friend here at Focus who gave it away as a favor for her wedding. She and her husband did. And this book has played a good part in your story as well. I'll start off by saying that for anyone who probably has followed, some people have followed Larissa's story with her husband, Ian. And it just kind of came up, surfaced again on the Desiring God site, as well as Justin Taylor's site and other people who have kind of been following you through your blog, prayforian.com. And we want to talk to you a little bit about your story today because, you know, not that we want to put you on a pedestal or say, you know, oh my goodness, you're just superhuman or anything of that nature, but you have a story that really is a testament to God's goodness, and we want to talk about that a little bit today. So what I want to start by asking you, Larissa, and hopefully, you know, we'll reveal kind of some of your story as we talk here. But just as an overview, why don't you kind of just give us in a nutshell what the story is as far as you and Ian, and then we're going to talk about a couple of the particulars.
Sure. Ian and I met when we were in college. We were both attending a state university out here in Western PA. And one point we were in the same major, and I ended up switching, but we actually met on the college TV station. I was an anchor, and I think he was a cameraman at the time. And then we actually ended up having some mutual friends that we didn't realize until we ended up at somebody's apartment all together. And from there, we just kind of grew in our friendship, and Ian really took an interest in my spiritual life. I was a very new believer. And so he kind of reached out to me and was inviting me to his church where his dad was pastoring at the time. And so from the very beginning, he was just a very faithful friend in that way. And after getting to know each other for a couple of months, we started dating in November of 2005, which was, I guess that was our third year of school. And then we spent the summer apart on internships, and we were scheduled to graduate in December of 2006. And then in September, he was in a car accident and suffered a traumatic brain injury. And nothing has been normal since then. He was in a hospital, in a few different hospitals in Pittsburgh for about 7 months, and then came home in the spring of 2007. And we just fought through therapy and discouraging doctor's reports, and at the time Ian wasn't able to talk, and he regained his speech about a year and a half or 2 years later. And then in 2010, we decided, well, actually it was 2009 when he proposed, we decided to get married because as we were talking to his parents and our pastors about it, just said that Ian needed to be able to communicate with me in order to make a marriage happen. And so once he started talking, it became more of a reality, and we were married on August 28th of 2010.
Wow. And it's been quite a journey since then, from what I've gathered from your blog and elsewhere.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I mean, as far as even just Ian's condition, you know, typical brain injury, the doctors will say about 3 to 5 years, you'll get back what you'll get back. But we know so little about the brain still that it's just a mystery to doctors, and there's no guarantee. And Ian is now in his sixth year past his brain injury, but really a lot of his progress has come in later years. So, you know, even from the very beginning, God has just been very clearly healing Ian, and seems interesting in the ways he's doing it. It's not leaving any room for us to think that it's just medicine or doctors alone that's doing it, but a very clearly God's work. And then you know, on top of a very difficult situation in August of, I guess it would have been 2009. His dad, who was incredibly involved in our lives, was diagnosed with brain cancer, and he passed away that October. So definitely been, we've seen affliction in the past 6 years and have just kind of had to experience a lot of sorrows, but we're really just excited that we were able to get to the point where marriage truly was an option.
Hmm. And that's a lot to experience. I mean, you are both still in your 20s, aren't you?
Yeah, we're both still 27. Yeah. We were 20, I think, when we met, and 21 when he had his accident.
Wow. Okay. So what, and I want to back up a little bit here in a minute, but tell us then practically, just so we have an understanding of this, what does this practically mean for you day to day? Like, what is your day to day life and schedule look like? Because mm-hmm. I know you've talked about this on your blog a little bit, just how, you know, you're responsible now for, you know, providing and just different things. You know, what does this look like for you?
It's very weird, but I think it's also very normal all at the same time. It's like this weird paradox of a very strange life, but also what we go through is very normal, too. We've been just really blessed with, we have great agencies here that help us with Ian's care. So Ian does has the option of having full-time staff with him. So we have a caregiver that spends each day with him while I'm at work. I work full-time at a bank. And then his brother and his mom are able to work for him, too. So it's just a huge blessing because we have family members who are able to help him and spend time with him so that I can go grocery shopping or do whatever, or just help him, you know, with transfers and out of bed or into his wheelchair. So I work all day, come home and get to see Ian. Evenings, I think, are pretty normal. We eat dinner. We try to have quiet times, hang out with our friends and family. So, yeah, I think there are those things that are very weird in that I am the sole provider, and unless God does something pretty significant, Ian will not be able to work. So, mm-hmm. you know, I knew that signing on to, I knew what I was signing on to, a full-time career by yeah. marrying Ian, which, you know, was just a cost, but wasn't anything that made me too scared to do it.
Sure. So let's talk a little bit, Larissa, about your worldview of marriage, because it really was shaped from the beginning, even pre-accident. And like you said, you know, you talked about Piper's book and really how you understood that marriage has a larger purpose in this. Talk a little bit about how you lived that out, you know, from the very beginning.
Sure. Well, since I was a fairly new Christian when I met Ian, he taught me a lot about just how to protect each other's hearts when you're dating. And he was just, his dad raised his boys. There are four boys total in Ian's family. His dad just raised them to be very intentional in the sense of just encouraging them to not pursue a relationship until they were in a position that marriage was an option. Not out of a sense of legalism, but just wanting to care for young women's hearts and, you know, not totally give themselves over to relationships, all the emotional hardships and commitments that would come from that until they were actually in a position where they could commit themselves and their life to that woman. So that was new for me, and it was wonderful because it just brought on a totally new picture of how God would be caring for us through that, and just Ian's desire to protect my heart and care for me. So from the very beginning, it was intentional. Our first date, he said that he wasn't dating just to date around, but he was looking at this very intentionally to see if God would have marriage for us. So from the get-go, that's what we were looking for and praying about.
So, Larissa, you say that even though you chose marriage in light of the situation, you chose it sadly. Can you talk to us a little bit about this and then really about your thought process immediately after the accident as it pertained to kind of where do we go from here? I mean, how did you wrestle with that reality and then ultimately decide to marry despite the circumstances?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that really held me was that what Ian demonstrated to me before his accident was that he was such a faith first of all, such a faithful friend to me and brother in the Lord. And I knew that if the roles had been reversed, Ian would not have left me. And so that carried me a lot throughout the time when he was in the hospital and he was unconscious. He wasn't able to really give us signs that he could hear us. He couldn't talk. And I would just sit by his bed and talk to him or read him his Bible and just remember thinking constantly that Ian wouldn't leave me. He wouldn't give up on me. He wouldn't just walk out. And not that that would be wrong. I don't think it would have been wrong for us to stop dating. But we decided to stay together and we decided to, you know, once Ian was communicating and God would give me little glimpses, his heart rate on the monitor would go really high when I went in, or, you know, all of the people working with him would just say, he looks at you differently. And I couldn't really see it, but I was being told that all the time. And so because of the character that I knew of Ian and just also the big view of God that we've been taught, knowing that God is bigger than our marriage. And so even though we knew it would come with a lot of costs and, you know, to get back to your original question of choosing it sadly, we just have a lot of sadness in our lives. There's a daily sorrow and there's daily grief with living with a brain injury. I think it's probably one of the hardest disabilities to have to live with because we are almost living with two versions of Ian, because we have Ian before the accident and we have Ian now. So there's a lot of sadness and sadness over losing Ian's dad. And we knew that our marriage wasn't going to be what we had pictured it to be 6 years ago. I knew that Ian wouldn't be able to necessarily plan a date for me or surprise me with flowers. So there's a lot of sadness in that, and just sadness seeing Ian at our wedding not being totally healed, but also knew that God would be faithful to us, and that we were able to just display Christ's love by being committed to each other, even in the midst of really difficult circumstances.
And you say, too, that even though, you know, there are many practical things, many things that Ian is incapable of because of the brain injury, he is still a leader in your home in some ways. And can you talk about that a little bit? Just, you know, what submission looks like in your marriage and what his leadership looks like?
Sure. I think that's been one of the biggest lessons for me and was one of the hardest things adjusting to, because when we first got married, and I say that as if we've been married forever, we've only been married for, it'll be 2 years in August, but the transition into marriage, probably like any quote-unquote normal situation, is hard, and found myself angry at Ian a lot, and so much of it was, I was just really upset at his brain injury and upset at the things he couldn't do, the practical things, even though I don't even know why I had that expectation, because I knew going into it he couldn't do it, but there was still an element of grief there. And so those practical things he's not able to do, but when I look at what he is able to do and what he brings to our marriage, it's what is most required and is what is essential, and that Ian loves me so well, and he loves, I think, better than anyone I know who's has all of their abilities, and he's constantly patient with me. He is very quick to point me to truth. He's just caring for my soul, and he's able to pray for us. He's able to point me to Christ and point me to heaven when I'm struggling with something, or when I'm struggling with condemnation. He's so quick to point me to the very basic truths about who God is, and that's what I need. That's what I need as his wife, and that equips me to better serve him too.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say, in light of that, what in your marriage have you realized really has come to the forefront? Like, what is most important? Maybe some of the things that you had thought were important at one point aren't as much anymore, and other things are more so.
I really don't think it's important to have my house clean. I say that, you know, half jokingly, but, you know, one of the things that I learned too is that there's only so much I can do in a day, and that I need to be prioritizing our spiritual well-being and just enjoying Ian. It's really easy to get distracted by all the practical things because I'm the one responsible for all of them. And so it'd be really easy for me to fill all of my evenings with things that are necessary, but some can be cut out, and I need to be seeking to enjoy my husband and for us to enjoy God together. And so one of the things that's taken me a long time to learn, and I'll keep learning, is just prioritizing in that way and recognizing, you know, that Ian's needs need to be taken care of emotionally and spiritually just as much as his practical needs. And that if the kitchen is a mess when we go to bed, that's okay.
Yeah. So what do you two do for fun?
Well, it's summertime now, so we go swimming a lot. We have a public pool here where we go as often as possible. We spend a lot of time with his family. His family lives here in the same town as us. We sit on our porch all summer. We pretty much live outside all summer, try to read together and just really exist, which is what it was like even before Ian's accident. We weren't a super active couple. It's not like we went hiking and kayaking. We just sat around and talked and laughed. So that's very similar to what we do now.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. Well, I think, Larissa, there are a lot of people that are listening, you know, who are probably maybe dating someone, or maybe they're engaged, or maybe they're just hoping for marriage someday, and they hear your story, and for them, it's just, it's even impossible to grasp. I mean, it's really something that they can't put themselves in your shoes at all. But there are many elements to your story, and just like you said, the day-to-day stuff, things that you have to do, things that you're doing as a wife, you're working, you are, you know, relating to your husband in a way that, you know, is biblical, and learning how to do that and coming to grips with your own sin and how that plays out. What would you say, kind of as we close here, Larissa, what can young adults who hope to marry someday really learn from your story? I mean, bring it into their situation. If you could make sure that they take one thing away just from your experience, what you're learning, how you're walking through it now 2 years in, what would you want them to take away?
Well, I think one of the things that was pressed on my heart the most, right as we were going into our marriage just a few weeks before, was what a friend had said to us who had just spent many years caring for his wife who passed away from cancer. He just said to me that you will never regret loving this much. And I think for young couples or young adults who are single and praying for a spouse, just knowing that when two Christians who love the Lord first are looking to pursue a marriage, go for it. If you are in love with the Lord and love this person romantically, God is going to be so faithful to your marriage. And I think, not to say in a way that scares anyone, but a lot of people could face a significant trial and will face a significant trial within their marriage. The only difference is that we're starting there. And to be able to see marriage as a reflection of Christ loving the church and trying to keep that in the forefront of your mind, that this isn't just about roles or, you know, who does what in the marriage, but we have an opportunity to show Christ to the world by loving each other and serving each other and being tender with each other. There are so many marriages that just don't get to experience that joy of the way that God has designed marriage to be. And so I think when we have an opportunity to show that to the world, we should do it anxiously, but also just praying constantly, knowing that each day we need oodles and oodles of grace to get through it. But, you know, just as there will be many times of many valleys, there will also be so many peaks, because marriage is a good thing, and God has designed it for us to enjoy and to bring Him glory. So it should be just prized really highly and seen as just a beautiful gift from God.
Hmm. That's good. And I love how you, I mean, not only how you said, you know, there's not a lot different really when you look at the essentials, not a lot different in your story other than that you're starting out kind of with that trial, with that hard place. But I love how what you're saying really indicates that it's not something that you're letting overshadow your marriage. You're recognizing that your marriage has a bigger purpose and that it has a bigger timeline, really, than what can be constrained by illness. And that's so true. And I think that there's, you know, just the evidences that you have of how, you know, living life there in that town and with Ian's family and what you're doing. And just there's so much to be taken from that. I think that's great. Larissa, thank you so much for talking with us today. For those of you out there who want to follow Larissa and Ian's story, you can do so again at prayforian.com. And that is where Larissa blogs and just shares photos and anecdotes and kind of some of the day-to-day things that are truly an encouragement to those of us who are anticipating marriage someday and kind of walking the path toward that right now. So Larissa, thanks so much for just sharing from your heart and really sharing a lot of wisdom that you are gleaning now in your 20s through what God has you walking through during this momentary marriage and beyond. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lisa.